So this is part three in our series, The Law of Growth. And this message today is one that's going to help you to really know if you're growing at all and how do you measure up. So when you look at growth, you need some sort of measurement to know that you're growing. And it's like, I don't know if you're a young person, and how many had the door jam that people would measure you by? You know, that everyone would sort of mark the spot, and maybe if it wasn't too bad, they would write the date. And it's interesting that that's a great thing to measure. And as a young person, it's exciting to know that that's where I was last year, and now I've grown taller. And we make a big thing as parents to get excited when we see growth in children. And it's a good thing. It would be terrible if your child didn't grow. You know, if your child didn't grow, you'd be sort of asking the family, starting to ask questions of maybe doctors, why isn't our child growing? And so there'd be great concern. But that's the same spiritually. If we're not growing spiritually, we should be very concerned. There should be great concern about our growth spiritually. If we can't see a growth spiritually, or people around us can't see their growth spiritually, it's a real concern. And it's a concern for me as a pastor, because it's my job to help you grow. And if I can't see growth, I go to my father and say, hey, why isn't this person growing? What's the problem? In the natural, if something wasn't growing, there may be a medical condition or something like that. But in the spiritual, there's a spiritual condition that's stopping growth. And so it's so important that we measure that. And often we measure ourselves by a tape measure, a ruler, but sometimes we measure ourselves by other people. Yeah, and as kids, I don't know about you, but as children, you've seen children measuring it off each other. And I think I've got a little slide on that one. You know, you see that kids in life, they sort of stand up and they measure themselves. I'm not as big as that person, but maybe I'm bigger than this one. And it's not a good guide, because that's only one measurement. So it's only one measurement is growth in height. But that's a phenomenon that kids will always seem to do, is they measure each off. And I know that in our family, in our children, we've got identical twins. And, you know, for years there was like that much difference between the height. But they would always measure off each other, you know, because, and they're quite small girls. But they would measure off each other. And it's interesting that people continue that in life, and then they start to get in a negative. So there's a positive side of that, and there's a negative side of measuring off somebody else. And so a lot of people get into that negative thing and start comparing themselves with that person. And we looked at mirror, mirror on the wall, you know, and comparing who's the fairest of them all, to see, you know, how we compare against somebody else. And it's interesting that even in life, people measure themselves by the height and their weight. And you'll find that people will like to get around somebody who maybe is just a little bit larger than them. And they do, because you don't feel so bad. You don't want to hang around a skinny person, because that skinny person makes you suck it up and do all sorts of things. But it's, you can relax if you're around somebody a little bit larger. And there's a bit of comfort in that, you know. And so you'll find that even in these programs, you know, the fattest one is measured, because, you know, the skinnier one who's still overweight feels great about themselves. And so it's interesting. And there's a scripture which is Matthew 6 and verse 27, and I'm going to read it in the Message translation. It says, has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror even got taller by so much as an inch? And I found out there's all these self-helps for, you know, for idiots, how to grow taller in 6 weeks. Obviously, it's not going to happen. But It's a desperate thing for some people. In front of that mirror, they want to sort of try and do something to their physical stature. But the word says, it doesn't matter how much fussing you can do in front of the mirror, you're not going to change your height. You're not going to change that. So there's a message in that, I guess. Just be happy. Be happy the way that your makeup is, and be content in who you are. So the Word of God is saying, forget the comparison and the concern physically, because there's something much more important that we should be working on, and that's just spiritual growth. So it doesn't matter how much you're fussing you do in the natural, and how much time and effort and money we put onto the natural things, it's not going to change. But what you need to invest in is your spiritual growth. That's what's going to last forever. Because it doesn't matter how much money you spend on it, every year it's going to get older, you've got to clean it more, you've got to do all sorts of things, and so it takes a lot of effort to make it look good all the time. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I appreciate you all getting showered this morning and cleaning up and putting the makeup on. I really appreciate it. It's wonderful. So I'm glad you looked in the mirror, for those who did. But it's a good thing to do that. But it's so much more important to have a checkup on our spiritual side and see where we are there. So to grow spiritually, we should imitate Jesus. That should be the goal. When we were to grow spiritually, we should be measuring ourselves up against Jesus, because he told us to do that. That's the message. To be Christ-like, or to be like Jesus, is the goal. So spiritually, if you want a measurement, measure yourself against Jesus. And that's what we do. And even the Apostle Paul said this. He said this in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. He said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So we can measure ourselves of leaders if they're imitating Christ. If they're not, don't imitate them. So if a leader is imitating Christ or is Christ-like, then measure yourself against them. And that's why we've been given leaders. We've been given pastors, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, so for the equipping of saints, so that you can become perfect. So it's not a bad thing to measure yourself off a leader, as long as they're being led by Jesus. If they're imitating Jesus, if they look like Jesus to you, then come up against them and say, what is it? What do you do that's differently? How can I be more like you, because I really can't see Jesus in the natural, but I do sense Jesus in you. And so that's biblically to do that. So, and then I think everyone should be mentoring somebody in the faith. And so you should be trying to, and like we had those steps there the last few weeks, when you take a step up, then turn around and pull somebody up. Say, come on, I'll give you a hand to come up to this level. Because I've done that. You know, I've taken that step up in this level, so I want to help you come on the journey with me and lift them up and encourage them. And we do that not by physically, but encouraging them. Come on, we can walk this walk of faith together. We can change the confession. We can declare the end from the beginning. We can do things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we can grow that way. It's so important. So to measure up against another brother or sister in Christ is biblical. So look around for those in the church who say, yes, look, I need to side up against that person and let them encourage me and glean from them. So if we nourish our body, we know that we'll grow visibly and get stronger. And what I mean by that is that if you put the right foods in your body, you'll get strength. If you put the wrong foods, it's going to make you weak. And it's a known fact that different nations are stronger because of their diet. And what happens with nations that have good food, when they have an overabundance of good foods, that's a negative as well, because they've taken on too much into their life, too much of the good thing. That's like in life. If you have too much of any good thing, then it becomes a waste. And that's what happens. So we've wasted too much time as Christians playing church, and it's time that we should be teaching others. And that's what Christian life should be about, that it's not just getting, but it's actually giving. And we should be giving out and so looking for those that we can help to the next level. There's always somebody you can help up. And there's always somebody you can look up to and say, I want to be more like them. So let's turn to Hebrews in chapter 5 and verse 12. You know, there's a lot of people in church that I feel are stuck on that first base. They've made the decision for the Lord. They've made a change in direction, but they've never got past what I call first base and got into a spiritual life. And they're still one foot in the natural and a little bit in the supernatural. They know they've been saved. They know that God is there, but they've never really got into the flow of spiritual life. They've never grown. So Hebrews 5 and verse 12 says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," this is talking to you, "by this time you ought to be teachers," right? That's what you ought to be. "You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." You know, it's interesting, we've had our son and daughter-in-law and our little granddaughter Lucy here this weekend, and they're just on the way back to Sutherland right now. And she's just transitioning from milk to solid food. And it's interesting, she's growing. We can see the growth in her. She's more interactive, she's more alert, because there's this transition from milk into solid food. And we know there's growth because of that. You know, she doesn't spit it out, she's enjoying it. You know, and she knows that there's something more in the solid food than there was in the milk. But this word says that here, the time we should be teachers, most of us are on milk still. And you're not going to grow strong on milk. What is milk for? To increase the fat. To increase that reserves of fat in our bodies. And that's where you see babies grow fat on milk. But unless they go to solid food, they're not going to run. They're not going to do those other things. And that's saying spiritually. And it says here, verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So when you become full age, you get hold of the word of God, and that causes discernment to come, where you can understand what is good and what is not good. And there's many Christians that can't discern what's good and not good. There's many Christians would not be able to discern if that movie is good for them. Many Christians won't discern if that relationship's good for them. But when you're full age, when you're mature and you've had the word in you, then discernment's going to come. And you're going to be able to discern that. Many Christians have their growth has actually been stunted because they've been dining on what I call milk toast sermons. Do you know what milk toast was, if those old enough? It was like, you know, you would get the old bread and you would toast it and you put milk with it and a bit of sugar, and basically you got, you know, bread and butter pudding. You know, but it's easy to eat because it's all sloppy. And if you've seen a baby, they'd get a little bit of milk and this little bit of toasty rusket and they mix it up, and it's, yeah, a baby can eat that. But it's very sloppy, and for adults, they'd say, oh, I don't want to eat that. But that's what many Christians have been on. They've been listening to messages which are very watered down and don't challenge you, and maybe there's a bit of sugar with it, so it seems okay. But you'll never grow. You know, I was looking just recently at some of the messages that have been spoken this year, just out there on the internet. Titles like, "Life is a Melting Pot," "3 Steps to Success," Yeah, no shortcuts in success. Planning for success. These are all messages coming from churches. Now, the content may be great, but I know that most of those things are going to say, yes, you can be successful in life. You can do this. You can have the best life. And it's all geared about being successful in the natural. And I've got no problem with being successful in the natural. And, you know, I've been to many seminars on how to be successful. You know, and how to help that situation, how to have that business plan and how to have all these goals and things like that. But it doesn't cause any growth spiritually. It maybe makes you dress a bit better or have a few better outlooks in life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in church we should be equipping you and teaching you how to grow spiritually. And how you can, from each week you can develop and grow and become like Jesus. So, we've said this one before. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 and verse 11. And this is talking again what the role of Jesus was. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, to all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. And this is the next section I want you to look at. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What it is, that my job is to get you to become to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not to say I want you to be 5'9" or 5'10" or however tall Jesus was, but it's how he was spiritually. What was the measure of Jesus spiritually? And when he had the disciples with him, in 3 years, he took them on the journey so they could know what he would say, how he would act, what he would do in this situation. And so when Jesus departed, when he went to be with the Heavenly Father, we see that John and Peter were in the temple, on the way to the temple, and there was a man who was begging. They'd seen what Jesus had done. And he was asking for alms. And they knew right then, we don't have anything. Silver and gold, don't we? Yeah, we have none. But what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And see what they did, they reached into the realm of the measure of Jesus Christ. And using that measure, they took what he'd had done and he said, this I give to you. So they'd become in 3 years in the image and the likeness of Jesus. They'd grown up. And I can tell you, it was only months earlier that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. So it was only months earlier that he denied Jesus. He actually cursed and he said, I do not know, blinkety blink, that guy. And he did it not once, but 3 times. But now he had the Holy Spirit within him. So he could reach on from the inside and say, what I've got in here, I can give to you. It's spiritual. It's not natural, but I take the spiritual portion that's in the image of Christ and I'll give it to you. And do you know that is available to each and every one of us? Hands up if you've been a Christian more than 3 years. Wow. So I'm comparing you to the disciples who had been Christians for 3 years. For 3 years, they'd been Christians or been following Christ. Because that's what a Christian really means, followers of Christ. They'd really only been saved months because Jesus died for sins. So before that, they were just followers of Jesus. They were his disciples. For 3 years they followed him, and now he handed the whole ministry over to them. And so they'd grown up in the measure of that. And Colossians 1 and verse 10 says, that you may walk worthy that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So growth spiritually is increasing in the knowledge of God. And the reason why it says walk worthy is that you may walk the same way God walked, the same way Jesus walked. And that's not in the natural because everyone's got a different walk, but it's in the path what he did, in the way that he would go. See, we need to know the ways of Jesus, the ways of God. How did he do it? How did he respond? Why did he stop and do this? And then we need to know that and study and grow in that way. So we need to walk worthy. So there's a parable in Mark 4 and verse 26, which we've mentioned before this year, but I want to go there again. And it's really talking about the kingdom of God. And it says in verse 26, and he said to them, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So this is what Jesus said. This is what the kingdom of God is like. So if you will get a concept of the kingdom, this is what it's like. A man who scatters seed on the ground. And should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. So here it is. This is the man who's got seed, and it's like the kingdom, like you in the kingdom. Your job, or the job of someone in the kingdom, is to take seed and scatter it on the ground. Go to bed, wake up. Go to bed, wake up. Now it says he does not know how it works. That's not the job of somebody in the kingdom. The job of you in the kingdom is to scatter seed, is to sow seed, keep sowing seed, and don't worry about how it's going to produce. It says here in verse 28, for the earth yields crop by itself. I want you to hear that. The earth yields the crop by itself. The job of the sower has now finished. He's grown to a place of spiritual understanding where he knows his job is just to sow that seed, to scatter that seed. Now, the job of the earth is to produce the harvest or to grow the crop. That's the role. For it yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain of the head. But when the grain is ripened, immediately, this is now when the job of the sower comes back in. So remember, the job of the sower was to scatter seed in the kingdom of God and go to bed, get up, do what he's got to do, and leave the earth to look after growing that seed. Then his job comes back in to harvest. So the sower harvests. He doesn't grow. So when you grow spiritually, you understand that, okay, all I have to do is sow the word, and then look out for my harvest. That's all I need to do. Doesn't matter how much I worry about it or how much I'm concerned about it, it's not going to change one more thing because it's not my job to do that. It's the earth's job to produce the crop. Just go on with your life and become a sower. So spiritual growth in the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed. In other words, to grow, you have to sow. So if you want to grow, you have to sow. You know, and what we were singing about this morning was about declaring or sowing words. So in our praise this morning, we were sowing words. Things like, this I know. You are a great God. This I know. And declaring words that have power and supernatural power. And that's why we choose songs carefully in this church. Songs that you can sow and declare and get them into the earth. And so sowing words is singing, it's speaking, it's declaring. So every time you come into praise and worship, come like you've got a bag of seed and you're sowing seed out, declaring, because when you mix faith with it, it will produce. The problem is that many people come into a service like that and they just get involved in the singing and say, well, look, I'm just going to be doing this, I'm going to be singing, without engaging their spirit. Because praise and worship is very spiritual. And when you go from within and take faith and say, as I declare these words, they will produce. They will produce after their own kind. And so praise and worship is so important. As we do that, we do it in faith. Do it in faith. Now, a baby would just get there with a dummy and suck it and just enjoy the experience. But once someone is full grown will know as they step into praise and worship, they're sowing seed, they're sowing more things because they're doing it supernaturally and spiritually. It should take on, your praise and worship should take on a whole different focus and feel as you grow, become full grown in this area. As you understand that you're a sower. So in the kingdom, the seed that you have to sow is your words. And this is what Mark 4 and verse 14 says. In turn, the sower says, sows the word. End of story. The disciples ask Jesus, what does it really mean? He says this, the sower sows the word. That's it. We could finish the message right now because the sower sows the word. So as you become fully grown and mature in this area, knowing in your bag is words that you need to sow. So I now look around and looking at situations that I can sow. And you know, if you haven't got something to sow or speak or declare, don't say anything. If you look through the Gospels and have a look at how many times Jesus said something, it was very minimal and the words were very short. He didn't go into this great elaborate sermonettes for people. He just declared this, he spoke that. He did this and he declared that. And they're written down. Have a look in your Bible. They're all in red probably. And have a look at how long they were. But they're very measured and very calculated because he took out of his seed bag, he took the words that would change the situation. So when you look to change a situation, go back to the Word of God and say, okay, where's the Word of God that I can take that seed out and sow it into that situation? And believe that you receive when you sow. That's what somebody who's fully grown and mature in this area, like Christ, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would he do? What would he declare out of this situation? Would he run away and say, oh, let me go to the doctor. Doctor, doctor, give me the news. No, not at all. He would declare what he wanted the outcome to be. And that's what we have to do. And 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. So we've now been born of not corruptible seed, seed that could be corrupted, but incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. So understanding that now you've stepped over from darkness into light, you're born as a new creation, not incorruptible anymore. Satan cannot corrupt your words. I want you to hear that. Satan cannot corrupt your words. He'll try and steal the word from you. He will always come and try and steal the word out of your life so it doesn't take root. But you are being born of incorruptible seed that will last forever and abides forever. So when you understand that, what's in us is the hope of glory. What's in us is the hope of this, of your family, your generation, your community. Is the hope of that is in you. See, God's word can never, never, never fail. You know, if we just understood that, his word will never fail. It doesn't say the word, God's word might not fail. It says God's word would never fail. It can never be corrupted. That's amazing. Just to get an understanding that God said his word will never fail. It can never be corrupted. It will produce what he intended to do. And that's what Isaiah 55 says. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, which means empty. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It shall accomplish and it shall prosper. That means it's done. There's no more argument. It's incorruptible. It shall accomplish. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So our job is to take the words that God has said, mimic him, and declare them back. Speak them out over your situation. And I say, Be a wordsmith. Go over everything and declare the word over that. Speak the word over this. Speak the word over that. Go out and declare the word over your garden if you want to. Giuseppe, declare the word over your vegetables you're growing. You know, that's, why not? We've got the power to do that. Speak over the situation. Call it what you want. An abundance, a harvest, an increase. Speak over that sickness and say, no, you will not be sick any longer. You're healed. Keep sowing, keep sowing. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to sow and declare the word of God with your mouth. And that's how Jesus did it. So how did Jesus do it? He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves. He didn't get on the boat and just say, no, he declared. But so many people think that's the way to do it, just go in silent prayer and just, God knows what I'm talking about. No, it's not only God that needs to hear it. Satan needs to hear it. The earth needs to hear it. Everything needs to hear what you declare. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't once go into a silent mode of prayer. He simply declared what he wanted. He didn't say, come on boys, we're going to have a prayer meeting because there's some sick people here today. So we're going to pray over these people. So everyone come together. We're going to sing a few hymns and do this and we're going to pray over these people. He just walked up and said, be healed. Be healed. John and Peter didn't go into a prayer huddle and say, look, this guy wants some money. What are we going to do about this? No, they just went within. And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I think we spend a lot too much time going into prayer when what we're going to do is declare. We should be praying in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, but get ready to sow seed and declare over our situation. Day in, day out. Go back in your seed bag, even carry a bag and write on it seeds. That's the seed I've got. It's the word of God. I'm going to get in my bag and I'm going to sow seed over your situation. If somebody comes and you say, look, I've got this problem. Hey, I'm going to reach in my bag and I'm going to take out some seed to sow in your life. Now you repeat that. You declare that over your situation. And that's what you should be doing. That's taking them up to the next level, the level that you're at. So the next point, the ground is the heart of a man. So the ground that we're going to sow it is in the heart of the man. So the sower who sows the word, where does he sow it? In his heart. So when you speak those words out, they just don't go out into the ether somewhere. When you declare them, so they sow in your heart. That's where it produces, in your heart. So in order to get it in your heart, you've got to speak it out. Mark 14 and verse 15 says this, and these are the ones that are by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So when you hear the word today, that word is coming into your ears, into your heart, but that's where Satan goes to take it out. So that shows you where the word is sown into your heart. So immediately Satan attempts to take it out of your heart. Why? Because he does not want that to produce fruit. And these are the ones that are sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises, for the word's sake. So every time tribulation and persecution comes, right, coming from Satan, it comes to take the word out of your life so that you don't stand on the word. So when tribulation comes and you feel weak because there's no substance in you, there's no way for the word to take those words to take root because there's no soil, there's nothing in your heart that can hang on to them, so it's easily taken by the enemy. And it says now, verse 18, and these are the ones that are sown among thorns. When they hear the word, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires of other things entering in choke the word and becomes unfruitful. So when your life is full of cares and concerns and striving to get an abundance financially, deceit comes in and steals the word from your life. because there's no way. It's choked. The word that comes in, pure word of God, you know, it's interesting that the word is incorruptible. But cares choke it. So I would say that almost that the cares of this life are more powerful than the word, than the word of God, because they can choke it. For the word of God to be powerful, it has to take root in our heart, and it has to produce something. So you have to nurture it. You've got to water it. You've got to be good caretaker of that word. Because the cares, the deceitfulness of riches, will choke the word. So we have to be careful. The word tells us that we have to be careful this area. But verse 20. But these are the ones that are sown in good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the heart is, or the spirit is where the word is sown. It's in the heart or the spirit. And it will bear much fruit, because when it's mixed with faith, it will profit you. The word says, this group didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. I'm not pointing to you, Susan, at all. It just happened to be on that side. So this group. But it's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. When they heard the word of faith, they didn't receive it. They heard the word. The promised land, it's there, it's flowing with milk and honey, and there's the fruit of it. But they couldn't mix faith with it, so they died in the wilderness without receiving the promise. And that's what it's like. The same opportunity is there for everybody. The same word is available, but it's what's the condition of your heart? And that's why I had up there that ground has to be good ground. It has to be prepared. It's got to be ready to receive the word, not with cares, not with things that are trying to choke out. It's got to have some depth in it. Mature. So Mark 11, verse 23 says this, for assuredly, and I put in brackets, be assured and confident of this. I say to you, whoever does that include? Whoever. Everybody, put your hand up if you're whoever. Yeah. Whoever, it means everybody here. Whoever says to this mountain. Now, it doesn't say that just special people, exclusive ones that have been somehow linked back to the disciples who can trace their heritage. No, nothing like that. It says whoever says, or you could say that whoever sows. Same word. Saying and sowing is the same thing. But whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. This is where somebody goes from the milk to the word to understanding that it's what they say and declare over the mountain, it will be done. Remember, what's the responsibility of the sower? To speak the word. It's the responsibility of the ground to produce the crop. Then the sower goes back and harvests. So you don't have to worry about how the mountain's going to come down. You don't have to worry about how this is going to transpire. All your job is to believe when you say that you'll receive. And as Susan keeps saying to me, take it. Take it. So when you speak it, take it. It's ours. It belongs to us. Be removed, be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. You know, it's interesting that Jesus doesn't say, whoever can quote John 3:16 or this other verse. He doesn't say that at all. He says, whoever says, mountain be removed and be cast in the sea. And that's what Jesus went and did. He didn't go back and quote some Bible verse about something. He just said, be healed. Raise up from the dead. He declared what the mountain was and he spoke over it. So he declared to the mountain of sickness, be cast in the sea. He declared to the mountain of death, be cast in the sea. That's what he was doing. He declared over the situation. He sowed the words of seed into that situation and it produced. The same way when he cursed the fig tree. He just spoke the words And he went on to the next thing. He didn't worry about how that was going to, how it was going to be cursed. It wasn't his job to worry about how it was going to die. His job was to sow the words. See, remember, you've got words of blessing and cursing available for you. And some situations have to be cursed. But most of them have to be blessed. So Luke 17 and verse 5. It talks about growing and increasing our faith. And this is where the apostles came to the Lord. And in verse 5 they said, increase our faith. Help us grow, is what they're saying. Increase our faith or help us grow. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'd say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. So this is how you grow. By declaring. And so what Jesus is saying here is to the disciples, when they said, increase our faith, he said, keep sowing, keep speaking, keep declaring. If you want to grow, start declaring something. And I would say at this point that the disciples hadn't said much at all. They'd just been listening to what Jesus said. And he's saying, if you want to grow, if you want faith, your faith to increase, start speaking over something. Start declaring over some situation. Start somewhere sowing. And I've said to many people, if you want to increase your faith, start believing God for something that's easy. Don't start out by believing for $1 million. Believe God for something that's going to, you can see in the natural. Small steps. Small steps. And when you get that step, you've got to another one. Look what faith has done. And then start believing something bigger and declaring something bigger. And as your faith grows, then there's no limit to it. You know, there's two essential ingredients for growth to take place. One is incorruptible seed and the other is good ground. So you need the ground and you need the seed for there to be growth. So it's so important that we understand this, those ingredients. So we've got to look after both of those. So we have to guard our heart, because we could be sowing things, but if our heart is not good, if there's things in our heart that is causing issues, then it's not going to work. So the word says in Proverbs 4 and verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So the word saying is, put away things that are going to corrupt you. Put far away from you perverseness, or the way you speak. So if you look at your life and there's things that are coming out of your mouth that you say, that's perverse, it's corrupted. See, we have to go to give an account of everything we say. And so you've got to put away those things that are going to corrupt your heart. So if there's cursing coming out of your mouth, you better get rid of it, because it will corrupt the thing that's in your life. You might be believing for this on one hand and you're corrupting it because you're cursing. What's coming out of your mouth? Is it good or is it corrupted? Put these perverse lips away from you, far away, it says. I can tell you right now that the word will not be working in your life if there's mixture. If there's mixture coming out of that vessel, it will not work. And the word says, how can clean water and dirty water come out of the same system? Because what's going to happen, there might be clean water and dirty water, but the dirty water will corrupt the clean. And so what will come out of your mouth will be dirty water, because it's coming from a system that's got mixture. You know, so you've got to put away those things that are perverse. You know, the same way there's the contamination of heart is, sometimes our heart is full of rocks and weeds that don't produce faith. And so we've got to go very carefully and ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal to me those things in my heart that are an obstacle for growth. Those things that are stopping me growing. Because He will respond to you in this area. There's things that you've been putting in there over the years that need to be taken out. It needs to be uprooted out of your life. As an exercise this week, I'd like you to take note of every time you speak a word that's contaminating or corrupt or idle. Start to have a just write them down to say, how many times have I spoken corrupt words? And if it's happening during the week, there's a reason why you can't produce fruit in your life. Until you clean up what we say, you cannot be a sower. You know, for many years, you may have been struggling to stop corrupt words and even curse words coming from your mouth. And when you get depressed and angry, out comes these words that you're not really proud of. But it's time to deal with them. You know, it's time to deal with them and put them on the altar and say, Lord, I don't want these in my life anymore. I've got to get rid of these things. Psalm 141 verse 3 says this, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. So you can pray that. It's in the Word. You say to the Lord, these are the things that have been coming out of my mouth. I want you to remind me so there's a guard over my mouth and watch the door of my lips so when I go to say those things, I'm going to take those thoughts captive. So they're not coming out of my mouth. Because when they come out of your mouth, they corrupt the seed that's gone in there. They corrupt the ground, and that's why there's no growth. There's no producing any fruit in your life because there's corruption within your mouth. And it's so important that we do that. So why don't we stand together? And I want us to clear this confession because this is about changing how we speak this morning. This is about changing how we speak. And I want us to say this. We said this last week. We got into the mode of doing it. So let's declare it together. One, two, three. In the name of Jesus, I am a believer. I believe God's word. I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. In Jesus' name, I render ineffective every negative word I've spoken, every negative thing I've thought, every word and thought that's been contrary to the truth of God's word. From this moment forward, I will acknowledge only the good things that are in me in Christ Jesus. I'm saying it now, out of the good treasure of my heart, only good things will come to pass. I am the righteousness of God, a new creation, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed from sickness and disease, poverty and death. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm no more more than a conqueror. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Since the greater one dwells within me, I can overcome. The faith of God resides in me, and through it I have the victory that overcomes the world. This is my year for breakthrough. I thank you, Father, that I have all these things. I believe it in my heart. I've released it with my mouth. So be it. It will surely come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know, if you can declare words like that out of your life and believe you receive it when you say, it will change your life. It will change your situation and you will see growth happening in your life. You'll see that now I'm undoing all those things that have been negative in my life. All those corrupt communications, those things that have stunted my growth. And when you look at your spiritual growth and you say, well, my growth has been stunted. It's because it should have been going like this. And I may have been a Christian 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 40 years, 50 years. I should have been at such a high level now, and the reason why your growth is stunted is because of what you said. Because the mixture is coming out of your life. And as you change the manner of your speech, and you know and you mix faith as a sower, you will be sowing into your future. You'll sow your way into your promised land, and your life is about to change. It really is. Your life is about to change.